You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Today's episode of Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. The promo code LOPISTONS will get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Pistons play the Kings tonight, and Detroit will be without John Luehr. Luehr got hurt in the Pistons' win over the Trailblazers the other day, injuring his right knee. Tobias Harris will start. Not sure exactly yet how long Luehr will be out. Luehr moved into the starting lineup. Had been playing pretty well this season, a very pleasant surprise for what he's brought to the team. It seems like the Pistons are still going through the MRI, trying to figure it out exactly. I'm guessing he's going to miss at least a couple games, and then it's going to be up to what they figure out exactly from the MRI, whether it's going to be more or something extended. But for now, it's Tobias Harris coming into the starting lineup, and this puts the Pistons back to the lineup they intended to have to start the year, a lineup that played very well together last year. That's Reggie Jackson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris, and Andre Drummond. That lineup has been bad this year, though. It's kind of a perplexing thing, tough to wrap my head around why it's been so bad. I've asked some players about it, and the general response has been, it's just not the same year. There really just seems to be something different in the dynamic. That was the lineup the Pistons tried to use when Reggie Jackson got healthy. He was struggling a little bit. That could have had something to do with it. And now as Reggie Jackson's finding his way, getting his groove, showing a little more burst off the dribble, getting to the rim, doing all those things better, maybe the lineup will perform better. However, and I got to put the caveat out here, everything we're talking about now is dealing with small and smaller samples. So I don't want to risk reading too much into this, but what we can see, that lineup the Pistons are going to be starting now, since John Luehr came into the starting lineup, yeah, they've still played together a little bit with Marcus Morris and Tobias Harris at forward, with Reggie Jackson, KCP in the backcourt, with Drummond at center. That lineup has still struggled, has still not been good. And so that's even with being matched up against opponents' bench units a little more, or at least some bench players more often than when that was Detroit's starting lineup. And that's with Reggie Jackson playing better and being healthier. It's still not producing anywhere near the level of last year. It's been less bad. It hasn't been a disaster. When Reggie Jackson first came back, that lineup was a disaster. Since John Luehr moved into the starting lineup, it's just been bad. That lineup with Harris and Morris at forward. And so now we'll get more of a chance at it. Tobias Harris has played very well off the bench. Maybe that's him showing his professionalism, that he's a player you can count on in any role, and this is why he deserves another chance to start. Maybe that was him showing that coming off the bench is a good fit for him. I think there is some advantage to it in that when he comes in the game, he knows the offense is his, that the ball is going to be filtered to him, and now it's going to be a little trickier to get everybody involved early, to figure out who needs early touches, how to get everybody going. It was definitely easier for Stan Van Gundy, and he's talked about this. It was easier for him with Tobias Harris coming off the bench because it was one fewer player in the starting lineup you have to run a play for, but somebody who's coming off the bench who has a clear role as an offensive focal point, a go-to scorer. Tobias Harris's scoring numbers ticked up when he was coming off the bench. So it's going to be an adjustment for him going back. He's going to have to become a little bit more a part of the offense rather than just being the offense. But that's only one step to it. The next thing is, while Luehr's out, who's coming into the rotation? I think the ideal move is if you can get Reggie Bullock back healthy, play Stanley Johnson more at forward. You can slide Tobias Harris, Marcus Morris, and even Stanley Johnson at times more down to power forward. You can get Boban some minutes, maybe some two big lineups with Aaron Baines and Drummond. And so if Baines is playing more of those minutes, then you can have Boban coming in, eating up some of Baines' minutes at backup center. But the big thing I'd like to see is more minutes at stretch four for Harris, Morris, and Stanley Johnson, which requires somebody else to take Stanley Johnson's minutes at backup shooting guard. Darren Hilliard hasn't quite looked up to that task lately, so the bigger comfort would be Reggie Bullock getting healthy, but that's predicated on Reggie Bullock being healthy and able to play. Not sure exactly where he is with that yet. Stan Van Gundy has said that at some point in the stretch with John Lure out, he expects to rely on Henry Ellenson. I'm a little surprised that he's going to do that, but at some point you want to see what Ellenson has, give him some meaningful minutes. He hasn't played much during his rookie year. When he has, he's looked like a rookie. I think when he gets into some meaningful minutes, we're going to see the game looking too fast for him, but maybe not. Maybe he's ready. Maybe he can contribute now. I think it's worth a look, but I don't have high expectations. I'm definitely not holding my breath. Will Ellenson get a role tonight against the Kings? We'll see. We'll see what Van Gundy goes with first, and we'll talk more about this Kings game. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. The NBA season is underway, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it has never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons today. The Kings are an utterly unremarkable team who have the huge benefit of playing in the Western Conference. I know that's weird to say. The West has been better than the East for years, and that's still the case overall this year. But the weak spot in the West is right at eighth place. There's a huge drop from seventh to eighth, and that means the Kings are right there in the mix for a playoff spot, where the Pistons are 18-21 and facing an uphill battle to get into playoff position. Certainly not insurmountable, but a tough battle. The Kings are 15-22 and essentially tied in the standing. They're percentage points behind the Trailblazers. Portland has one more win and one more loss. But the Kings are right there because that is the weak spot in the West. And so the Kings have an advantage the Pistons don't. I've talked about this numerous times, about how the Pistons need confidence. They need to feel good about what they're doing, and this two-game win streak helps. The team was definitely happy, laughing after that win over Portland. Double overtime, like, it feels good to come away with that win. That's something the Kings have had going for them for a little while now, is they're looking at themselves as a team in the playoff mix. They're playing lousy. If they were in the Eastern Conference, they might have more bickering, more complaining, even if they're playing the same way, because they'll see how far they are from the playoffs. But now they're feeling sort of good about where they are. At least they were. They've lost a few games lately. They're in a little bit of a downfall. They can't fall out of this playoff race. This part of the Western Conference is so darn bad. But, yeah, they've slipped a little bit, starting to feel a little bit of that Kings we know and love. It's a pretty unremarkable team. They're bad but not terrible offensively. Bad but not terrible defensively. They do a good job of getting to the free throw line. They force a decent amount of turnovers. They're not really awful at anything. They're solid throughout around DeMarcus Cousins. They'll play physical. They'll play tough. The Pistons are going to have to bring it tonight. Be ready for that challenge It's not going to be a game where you can just go out and play and try and play a finesse game. The Kings will push you around a little bit to their credit. They're willing to grind. DeMarcus Cousins is incredible. He might be the best big man in the league. Draymond Green just called DeMarcus Cousins the best big man in the league. I think it's really a four-man race between Cousins, Mark Gasol, Anthony Davis, and Rudy Gobert. Pick your order. I don't really have any complaints, however you want to sort those four. But those are the four I see up there. That's no offense to Andre Drummond. Drummond can get there. I think he's one tier below. Maybe even two tiers below, because maybe DeAndre Jordan's on a tier by himself on the next one. And then Drummond and somebody like Hassan Whiteside, who is not as bad as he's looked in matchups with the Pistons. Drummond has gotten up for those. Maybe he'll get up for this matchup with Cousins. But the key is stopping Cousins. When Cousins is on and playing well, the Kings are at a different level. He gets teammates involved. He's a good passer for his size. He does a lot of things. He can be a very good defender. Can be contagious. So if you get him frustrated, he's a moody player. When he gets frustrated, he starts turning the ball over. He starts fouling. He's not nearly as effective. He's bickering with referees. He's picking up technical fouls. That's him at his downside, at his best. It'll be very hard to win this game. He's often somewhere in between. You know, for anybody with that moody reputation, it's not as if they're always high or always low. It's just they're more prone to it. But that doesn't mean that's always how he is. So this will be an interesting test for the Pistons. It's tough on the road. It was good to open this road trip with a win at Portland. To make it two in a row to start the road trip, man, that'd really have the team feeling good. That'd get some optimism up. That would be what the Pistons need. Going around the league, there's one other topic I want to touch on today, and that's the big news out of New York. Derrick Rose going AWOL for their game last night against the Pelicans. Didn't show up. Nobody knew where he was. They couldn't get a hold of him. Reportedly, the team sent people to his apartment to try and find him. A real strange situation. It reminded me of a couple Pistons things. You know, this situation was very different from the norm, but the Pistons have had some things like this. The most infamous one was the practice boycott of John Kuster for a shoot-around. Several Pistons didn't show up, supposedly because they were upset with Kuster. Some came late, maybe had second thoughts about the boycott. So there's, you know, sometimes this lack of professionalism, not always doing what you're supposed to do, that happens. But it's a different level when it's during a game. But again, there is a Pistons analogy with late in Richard Hamilton's tenure with Detroit. He was sick for a game, and somebody on the team anonymously, of course, but somebody accused him of from within the team, accused him of quitting on the team. That Richard Hamilton said he was sick wasn't believed by everybody, and that's why he missed the game. And you know, that caused a little bit of dissension. We'll see if that happens with the Knicks, whether there's some resentment for Rose for quitting on his team. But what made this Rose one different is he didn't tell anybody. Richard Hamilton told the Pistons, "I'm sick, I'm not playing." They knew where he was. They knew what was going on. So this is a different type of thing. But we've seen how these dynamics can rip at a team, can tear at a team, and it can be difficult to manage. That's what's going on with a team that's supposedly competing for a playoff spot, just like the Pistons are. I like the Pistons' odds a lot more. I like them more before this. I like them a lot more after this. It's going to be a potentially difficult thing for New York to manage. New York's far bigger problem is that they have an underwhelming roster, that they have some washed-up players like Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose and are relying too much on them. That's the bigger problem. But this is just going to add to it, and it did make me think back to some of these other times in Pistons history, though there's no clear analogy to Detroit or anything I can remember where a player just went missing like this, where the team didn't know. That was something on its own, an interesting thing going on. If you're interested more in it, check out Locked On Knicks. This is the beauty of the Locked On Network, that when something like this happens, there are places you can go to listen and get more. Yeah, if you're a Pistons fan, you might not regularly want to listen to Locked On Knicks. It might not be your thing every day, but when something like this is going on and you want a little bit of the local insight, that is a good source to go to. Beauty of the Locked On Network. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.